It's a privilege to get old, ain't it? Amen. You know, as I preached a conference, I did make a little bit of a comment about Biden. And then the next day, I fell off the stairs. And Robin says, You know, the truth is, we all get old, right? You know, when you've got health and grace, praise God. We want to welcome you today to this church and to all that God is doing. So many good things are happening. And we just had a tremendous week in Colorado Springs. Started on Monday night and cleared through the week. If you've never been to a conference, I'd make a plan. Even now in the morning, we have so many churches, we didn't used to do any reports in the morning. Now the reports are in the morning, the reports are in the evenings. I asked somebody, maybe it was Evelyn, I asked her, what was her favorite part? She said the reports. All those stories about pastors that have gone out and they're making a difference and they are paying a price, but they're seeing fruit. And so all week long it was tremendous with wonderful times at the altar. And then on Friday night, we sent out three new churches. These are brand new churches that they'll be going in the next number of weeks. And so here's the announcement of what churches are being started out of Colorado Springs and going into Canyon City, which is about like between here and Durango distance, are Frank and Denise Locke. And they have been a part of that church for a long time. In fact, Frank told me, he says, that for a long time I've tried to deny that I was called to pastor. But he said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. They've already got a building, a place to meet tied down. They are ready to go. And so that's the first one. The second one, well, let me go to the second one. There's two out of Denton, Texas. We planted more churches than probably everybody else put together in a long time. But it's wonderful. How many were glad you're a part of that? And so out of Denton is Santos and Naomi Garza. And they're going into North Dallas. And then this one's special for us today. For two reasons, out of Denton, Texas again, and going into Arlington, Texas, are Jose and Brianna Alvarez. So let me tell you the backstory on that. Years ago in this church, a young couple, I mean, about the same time we were all getting saved, Dan and Nita Grappas got saved. Well, they weren't Dan and Nita when they got saved. They were just Dan and Nita, right? They got married and served the Lord. This was way back in the 80s. And they served the Lord and time went on. And there was a period of years where they pretty much backslid and got away from the Lord. And their caboose was Brianna. Their caboose baby was Brianna. And the doctors told them Nita had some health issues. And they said, this baby is going to be deformed or whatever they said, and they said, abort her. But they did. How many know that God has plans? And Brianna, you are a baby. So Brianna grew up, and she wasn't serving the Lord. During those years, and when we came back to Cortez, we had a list that we hung right there by that back door, and it was our salvation prayer list. And there were many, many names, and every month, Dan and Anita Grappas, Rob and I put that, Dan and Anita Grappas, and sometimes we think, well, should we just stop putting them on, but we don't stop, amen, and then guess what, Dan and Anita, I don't remember exactly when, but they came back and they rededicated their lives to the Lord. And right after that, Brianna got really saved. And I remember she went to camp and coming back from camp, that was it. She cut off the old friends and the old way of life, and she took a stand for the Lord. She served God, and hearing that she ended up going to beauty school or something in Colorado Springs, and so ended up from here to Colorado Springs, and then eventually moved to Colorado Springs, and then from Colorado Springs, she met a guy, Jose, right? Alvarez. There's too many names these days. Nice young man, and he's been a great disciple in Pastor Blake's church in Denton. And here she is. They've been married now several years, and now they're going to start a new church in Arlington. Dan and Nita are here. Stand up, Dan. This is your daughter, your son, and how many know we all work together? God, you know what? That's a story of redemption. It's a story of backsliding, but getting right with God, really right with God, and moving forward. It's a story of kids that were going one way, and God turned them around and took them another direction. It's a story of the gospel going into all the world through lives. And so, how many would pray for these churches? You pray. They need buildings. They need equipment. They need encouragement. And, you know, I'll be talking to Pastor Blake. We will probably take some offerings and do some things. And let me just tell you what you need to be praying. We need to send some more people out from this church. Amen. And the Bible says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send for the labor. So you pray, God, raise up people right in this church. There's some of you today, and God's been talking to you, and you've got other ideas. Don't miss God. Amen? You can do it. You know what? If you're in the will of God, it's a blast. It doesn't matter the area. It matters if you're in God's will. You're safe in God's will. There's joy in God's will. And you might say, well, I'm pretty flawed. Well, you have no idea about the flawed people that God uses. It doesn't matter. If God puts that in your heart, some of you young people, I'll tell you what, Monday night in the conference, they showed pictures of when Pastor Jones and Marie first were out. He was 20 years old. Right? Just, you know what? Teenagers could go and begin to preach the gospel. You grow up doing the will of God together. So how many would pray that the Lord of the harvest will raise up? How many would like to see us announce somebody next year out of Cortez, Colorado? Amen? And you're going to pray. And if you pray, you might go yourself. Amen? And be open to the Holy Ghost. It's great whatever God does. Amen. So that's the new churches. Couple other things that are coming up. Next Saturday, Kyle talked about the backpack outreach. So here's what we're doing. We're meeting here at the church from 11 in the morning until 1. And it's going to be in the back part of the building. We're opening those big doors. And there's a sign-up sheet. We need people to sign up to pray with people. There's going to be games for kids. Vince is overseeing the cooking part of it, but he's going to need helpers. We're going to have a great time of ministry and just blessing people. How many believe that would be a good idea? And fellowship with one another. So there's a lot going on that day, 11 until 1, here in the back. Let's see. Here's another part to that. So Wednesday, this Wednesday, after church, we were setting up all the tables and the chairs and all of that for the backpack outreach. So there will also be a quick meeting on for those who are helping. Again, you can sign up to help in different areas. And if you have further questions, see Robin on that. But there's a sign-up sheet in the back area to help with the games, to help with the different events that we're doing. And so I hope I got all that. Get all that, Robin? Okay, so it's going to be a great day. We're going to believe God. Now, the other thing that we're going to do during that time, we're going to have people giving testimonies, sharing what God's done. You know, there's nothing that encourages somebody else if there's hope for them to hear your story of hope. And so next Saturday, we're going to have a live mic there, and we're going to have people sharing testimonies. You say, who? You. Amen? Everybody in here has a story. I like that song we sing. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a song. Everyone's a little different, but we all went wrong. Amen? And you can share, not that you're so perfect, because you ain't. but you can share what God did in your life. So everybody here ought to think about it. And Pastor Kyle is going to be getting in touch and lining people up to share testimonies about miracles, testimonies of salvation, testimonies of deliverance next Saturday. Praise God. Amen. Looking forward to the rest of August. We have several things that are happening. So on August 7th, Pastor Kyle and I both leave to go to Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo in Africa. And we are going to be helping. We're going with Pastor Jones. And we're going to be preaching there in a conference and in numerous churches in the Kinshasa area of Congo. So we'll be leaving. And then that the first weekend that we are gone, Pastor Richard Marshall and Therese will be here. They are a blessing to this church. And so, you know, any time I could get him to come because he knows there's fish down here. Amen? And so they're going to come down on Friday and do some fishing. And then they're going to be preaching here. No, he comes because he wants to help us. I mean, they're great friends and preachers. But in fact, you have to listen to his conference sermon. It'll either bless you or make you mad, one of the two. And if it makes you mad, then you need to repent. Only Richard Marshall could preach a sermon just like that. And yeah, you can pull all the sermons up from this past week online on YouTube, on the YouTube channel there. So Pastor Richard and Therese will be here on the 10th. And then Sunday the 17th, Pastor Josh Collins will be preaching. He's never preached here before. It's going to be a great time. Josh and Elena, their whole family's coming. So that's going to be two great weekends. And everything keeps kicking. Amen. We all just shuffle to our different parts. And we all do what God's called us to do, right? And people just get in there. And let's be in prayer during these next weeks. Let's witness. Let's testify. Let's make impact for the kingdom of God. Amen. I hope we've covered everything. So today, back by popular demand, is Pastor Jose Gutierrez, who came last year. And we just had a great time. That was the first time I really got to spend some time with them. They pastor in Costa Rica. I can never remember the exact name. I don't like to say that when he comes up. But they pastor in Costa Rica. He was a bona fide atheist against the things of God. But the problem with that mixture was Pastor Blake was his brother-in-law. Or some of his sister-in-law, sister to Carla. And so it's hard. I mean, hard getting around Pastor Blake, isn't it? And so, you know, you win people in two ways. Sometimes by straight talk and sometimes by love.
Amen.
Those two things. Amen? And over time, he got saved. Not only did he get saved, but he felt the call of God. And now they've been several years in Costa Rica. They're doing a great job there. And so we're so glad to have Pastor Gutierrez and Marcella there. Going to be here, and then they'll be heading back this week to back to Costa Rica. So let's just open our hearts, and let's let God do what he wants to do as we give him a hand as he comes. Amen. Hello.
Hi.
You know, in our church, I have a
clock
in the back of the room, so people can actually go to lunch after the service, because if not, I'm going to take forever. So on advice from my lovely wife, Marcella, could you stand up so everybody will know who you are? I have here my phone with a stopwatch. So that's her idea. And I wanted to piggyback on something that Pastor Kyle and Pastor Blanc said just a moment ago. I am 52 years old, and I gave my life to the Lord when I was 38. I was an addict. I was an atheist. I hated the Lord and my dad and my mom as well. And not only did the Lord call me, through the love and his plan. I mean, I can look back many, many different ways when I was still fighting against the Lord, in that the Holy Spirit and his will
of protecting me because he had plans for me in the future. So if you think you're too old, if you think you can't go out, that's a lie of the devil.
Amen.
You can do it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old are you. It doesn't matter what your plans are. The Lord will equip you.
Amen.
You see hero after hero after hero in the stories of the Bible.
Yes.
They were just men and women that were doing their own thing.
Yeah.
It's funny to me, even when you read about Moses, that he had five, please read it, in Exodus, he had five different good arguments to give the Lord on why he was not the one. And the funniest thing is that the last one is, hey, Lord, look for somebody else. I just don't want to go. So just want to say those few words before we start in that, please, let the Spirit work in you. Just let him grow in your heart, that willingness to serve him. And your life is going to be changed. You're going to be transformed. And the Lord is going to equip you with whatever it is that he needs to equip you so you can go out and serve him. Amen?
Amen.
Excellent. If you're taking notes, and I encourage people to take notes, I'm going to be talking today a message that the Lord placed in my heart about guardrails. We were driving here, there is a mountain pass, and you see this, it's a beautiful road. Everything in here works. If you go to Costa Rica, and probably pastors here that have been to Africa know what I'm talking about, nothing works like this. The roads are super bad. I see, it was funny too, seeing those signs of a big truck going down, and it said 7% incline, like it's a big thing. We have roads full of potholes, 45% incline, that your brakes are going to just blow. Doesn't matter what you do. So I was thinking of the guardrail in the road, and we have them a lot in Costa Rica as well. And I would like, if you want to have a title for the service, it will be Guardrails, Living Wisely in a Dangerous World. We need to live a wise life in this world as Christians that is so dangerous. I think that everybody can agree with me here that nobody wake up a morning with a plan to wreck their life, right? You didn't came to church driving here thinking, okay, I'm going to ruin my marriage today. Nobody did that, right? Or I'm going to ruin my testimony as a Christian today. Nobody does that. And in the same manner, when you're driving your car, nobody plans to have an accident. Nobody plans to get off the road on that mountain, because those beautiful mountains and forests that you have here, nobody plans on just keep going on a corner and just flew in the sky and wreck your car. Nobody plans that. And the reason that the guardrails are there are to help you in that. But you will agree with me that if you get distracted for a moment, even though you didn't plan to go off the road, you could have an accident. And in the same manner that those guardrails are there to guard your drive so that if you get distracted or if something happened that day you don't go off the road, we are going to be talking today about how God has designed spiritual guardrails for your life in different aspects so you don't get distracted and you could keep going in the path that the Lord has for your life. He's been designing since before the creation of the world the plan that he has for the life of all of us.
Yeah.
Scripture says that we are God's most precious possession. And he had, have you think about it? Why don't we say it? Say, I am God's most precious possession. Let's do it.
I am God's most precious possession.
Right. The creator of the universe. And the only way that this will go in the way he has planned, if we all of us, we stay within these boundaries or these guardrails of his wisdom. And when I say wisdom, I don't want a, probably some of you think, even myself, of a very old man that has studied a lot of things and went to the university or has a PhD or something like that, but that's not what we're talking about. Wisdom is the will of God, is his word, is what he wants us to do in our lives. And what he wants with these guardrails that he has set up for our lives is so that we will live wisely and we will walk closely to him. That is basically what he wants. Let's go, if you will, to the book of the Ephesians in chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 15. So Ephesians 5, verse 15, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation only because it's easy for me to understand, so if it's a little different than yours, as probably will, it says, Paul says, Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus. It's a town in Greece. And he says, so be careful how you live. And I like these letters that Paul writes to the Greek churches, because that those cities at that time was when democracy was invented, philosophers that people read in college wrote his books, and people will live any way they please, thinking that their mind and their knowledge was the most important thing. So in a way, these letters are written just for us as well, because we live in a society that works similar to what he saw on those days. And he said, so be careful on how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And the question would be, is Paul only talking about sin? Should I only be concerned about sin? Because I'm a good Christian, and I don't sin, and I am close to God, and I'm in Pastor Bland's church every Sunday. Is that what Paul is talking about? And no, he's not only talking about that. But he wants us to live in a wise manner. If you keep reading a little further in the verse 17, Paul says, don't act, this is a difficult word, thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So this living not like a fool, but like a wise person has everything to do not with a checklist of I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but more on doing that plan, the specific plan that the Lord has for your life, for you individually. Paul says that he wants you to walk close to him, to do what the Lord wants you to do. How would you have this revelation? How would you know what the Lord wants you to do in your life if you don't read his word, if you don't pray every day, if you don't come here to listen to what the Lord and the Holy Spirit has put on the hearts of men that are anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God? How would you? It's very difficult. So before we talk about specific guardrails that I want to cover today, let's set up a baseline. I like to call it a baseline on living wisely. And let's think, when we're talking about different guardrails, that living with purpose and living with discernment is living with eternity in mind. Everything that we do every day is not just a business deal or a study that you do or a conversation that you have with a friend. No. Everything that you do reflects your love for Jesus and has to do with your eternal life. And you need to have that perspective as a baseline to understand what the Lord wants you to do and how he wants to guide you with these guardrails through the path that he has designed for you. Let's do a little prayer. Father, Thank you for this time in this beautiful town and these beautiful people. This is your people, Lord. Please never turn your head away from them. Listen to their prayers and show all of us in our hearts the things that you don't like from us. Let your word and your spirit be the only thing that is said in this place. And don't ever let me be an obstacle for your work, sir. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so I would say that we need to think of, this is a good question to ask ourselves. I would say that in light of your own past, if you could think about your own life, and in your present situation, whatever it is, your situation right now, we need to be wearing a spiritual citizen. Before we start this journey through the path that the Lord has for us. And asking these questions and understanding that the Lord has said the path for your life will be a good place to start. The first guardrail I want to talk about is your freedom. I will say, what is that guardrail that God wants for my freedom, to be free? Because who agree with me that being free is important,
yeah.
Right? And I believe I was reading, I like to read a lot about history of the West of the United States, and I was reading parts of the Constitution the other day, and this country is based on God and individual freedoms, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody appreciates that. In 1 Corinthians 6, somebody say amen when it's there. 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to be reading verse 12. Let me get that amen from someone there. 1 Corinthians 6, 12. And let's see what Apostle Paul says about freedom. It says, you say, I am allowed to do anything. This is Paul talking to the church. But not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. And this is a concept that is very important for us Christians to understand. That freedom without the wisdom of God is bondage. It's the true slavery. Slavery to what? To my own heart. To my own mind. Slave of doing the things that I think are good, the things that I think are right, instead of being free to do what the Lord has devised in His creation that I should do. God, of course, gives us free will, but Paul is explaining that not everything that is permitted for you to do is beneficial to you. Some habits that we have may not be sinful, but we could become addicted to them. And this is something that is very important for us to understand. Pastor Kyle was talking, and he was praying for this lady in the hospital that needs to be free of alcohol. I was an alcoholic, and I drank a lot of alcohol my whole life. As to this day, I've been 12 years free of the bondage of alcohol. This because of the Holy Spirit and Jesus in my life, but because I understand that in order for me to be free, I need to be completely away from the bondage of my own mind and my own heart. Because that is what will give me that true freedom, doing what God wants me to do. Paul is basically saying here in this guardrail, spiritual guardrail, that the Lord is placing, that we as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, we don't want to be mastered by anything but the Holy Spirit. And we could even be even simple, something simple, like let's say, for example, that you like hunting. And if you're obsessing all the time, I want this gun or this trip, or if you're thinking of something that is good, because I do love hunting myself, but it could become an addiction or a passion in a manner that is distracting you from the time that you need to spend with the Lord. Remember that the Lord does not say that He wants to be number one in your life. He says He wants to be the only thing in your life. So He wants us to have good things, and a healthy habit doesn't harm anybody. But when something is an obsession or a passion that is taking the place of your reading of Scripture, of your praying, of your coming to church, of your witnessing in the streets, because bringing people to the Lord is not only the work of pastors, but is the work of every single Christian, as said by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself in the Great Commission. We need to all go out. And if we're just having simple conversation, I remember one time that Pastor Blake told me, Jesus should be your number one topic. Jesus should be the first thing and the last thing you're talking about. And yes, we could have hobbies or sports or anything else that we do that God has given us all this, but we need to be free. And in order to have these guardrails that protect us from our own minds, we cannot be mastered by anything else. I don't want nothing to have power over my life, only the Holy Spirit and Jesus. That will be the only thing. Second guardrail I want to talk about is our relationships. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. Talking of my own life, I remember before I met the Lord, I could have the worst possible plan that you could think of. The worst possible idea. We were going to go, I don't know where, to do I don't know what. And I'm sure that as I did before, you would have two or three persons that you know that would say, yeah, that's a great idea, let's go. You're a reflection of the people that you hang out with. The people that you spend time with, it's important that you understand that they are godly people that love you. Because one thing is to go out to evangelize people. One thing is to go, and you should have always on your prayer list, someone that does not love the Lord, that you need, that you want to bring into the Lord. That is an important thing to have for every Christian. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be hanging out in a bar, or that you're going to have friends, or that you're going to be in alcohol or smoking all the time, or that you're going to have things that in the end, as we talked about freedom before, are going to end up mastering your life. You're going to have relationships that are safe to you, and God has designed these guardrails so that you do. Personally, most of the regrets that I have in my life from before were relational. And that could happen to anybody. What an amazing testimony would be someone, and I believe it's Pastor Glantz, that was raised in the church, that his family was in church, and kids in church. A testimony of someone that was in church from being a small kid and then serving the Lord as an adult. That's not my case. And even though I know that my sins are forgiven, even though I know that I'm saved and that I have a place in the table of the Lord for eternity, I remember the things that I did. And this is something that is important, especially for you young fellows. If you can stay close to the Lord in good relationships with godly people doing the things of the Lord, life and marriage in the future and decisions about work and life are going to be way easier. If you don't have to carry memories of things that you regret. And in this sense, I have a few, I want to call them red flags about relationships that I think that are part of these spiritual guardrails that the Lord gives us, especially thinking of that proverb. If you feel pressure to do something you're not, that's a red flag. If you're tempted to do things that you have never even think about before because someone put them in your head, that is a red flag. And especially, and this is especially important for younger people here, if you feel that you need to hide a relationship that you have with someone from the people that loves you, that is definitely a red flag. Because the Lord has everything in the light. His wisdom is the light that shines over the world, over the darkness of our hearts, over the mistakes that we make. And He has new mercies every day. And He will put you in the light. He will cleanse you. This is not to condemn anybody. This is to bring you to the light. Because if the Lord was able to forgive me, to give me a family, to give me my beautiful kids, to bring, as I was sharing in my report in conference, to bring my mom and my dad to the Lord after more than 80 years of being atheist, hating on Jesus. The last day that my dad lived, he passed away last October, being 91. We have one sister, we're four boys, and we haven't seen each other. We haven't been in the same room for over 20 years. And we met at the entrance of the ICU of the hospital where my dad was. And only my sister, that she's married to a retired Marine and lives in Virginia, she's a Christian, and all my brothers are basically atheists. And I had a thought in my heart about my dad needing the assurance one more time that he was going to meet the Lord and that we would see each other again. So I told my sister that I haven't seen him at least 10 years. Hey, why don't we, because I think one of the Latin American pastors explained in one of his reports that in hospitals in Latin America, only one person can be in visiting someone at a time, and they will give you like a little card. So when you're out, you will give the card to the next person that wants to visit, and then one by one. So we prayed and we were able to go together. And I remember just holding my dad's hand, and he couldn't talk, but I knew he understood because he was awake, and just holding his hand and telling him, "Dad, don't worry. We're gonna take care of mom. You don't need to worry about it. And you're gonna go to the house of our Father, and we're gonna be together. Every single one of us is gonna be together." And I made him a little promise. I know I need to work on Hugo and Javier and Luis, but I'm gonna do my best, and we're gonna be together again. This is just goodbye for a little while. And my sister said something similar. Just go. We're all good. Go. Go to be with the Father. And he passed away that afternoon. Yeah. It was fantastic. And in that, and I don't even remember why I changed the subject, but coming back to the guardrails, even in those relationships with my brothers and everything, there is a difference between the people that you want to save, the people that you want to have a relationship so they can be saved, that plan of evangelism that you have in your life, and people that can inflict the damage or can make you do things that you don't want to do. We're going to talk in a little bit about your heart and about how to guard your heart. But I want you to remember this that we just talked about, because guarding your heart and choose out your influences wisely will keep you in the direction of the Lord. The next guardrail I want to talk about is moral purity. And I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 6. This is a very read verse. This is 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. It says, "Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. See how the Apostle Paul here is not saying manage your impure thoughts or manage that website that you're looking at you shouldn't. Or bargain with the ideas that come to your head. No, he's not saying any of that. He's saying run. Run. I remember one of the pastors in one of the services of the conference was talking about Joseph and Potiphar, his wife, that he runs so fast that he left his clothing in the room. And when he was out, he was not saying, hey, no, I couldn't do this to Potiphar. He's such a good boss. He's paying such a good salary. The conditions are great. The insurance is like that. No, he's saying, how could I do this to my God? And that is exactly what Paul is talking about here. And again, this guardrail is not about you feeling guilty right now, because anybody in this room could be having struggles with this issue. It's not about condemning you. It's about protection. When you build a guardrail, the guardrail is not at the bottom of the cliff. The guardrail is not a person with a uniform judging your bad driving. No, the guardrail is on the top to protect you from falling. And this is what Paul is doing here. He's letting you know, hey, your bodies, first of all, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And your bodies does not belong to you. Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to purchase our lives. So, in a sense, what Paul here is saying is that you do damage to the temple of the Lord, and you do damage to yourself, and I don't have this in my notes, but even to go further, if you read about marriage in Genesis, it says that after a couple is married, they become one spiritually. And I don't know you, but if you could be one spiritually, with one person that you marry in your life, I can assure you that's going to be fantastic for you. And it's going to make your marriage strong, and it's going to last forever, and it's going to make things easier for you. Why? Because I'm not the referee of the universe, and I don't come up with these ideas. This is the plan of the Lord for the lives of every single one of us. If you're messaging someone, if you're having a conversation with someone at work, you know, I'm going to tell you a story. This man from our church, he was telling me that that he had this friendship with a lady from the place that he works. And even though it was nothing bad or really bad, he knew, he felt a conviction of the Holy Spirit in that he was confiding in her how he felt and emotional struggles that he was having, that of course should be reserved for his wife. And I could see this guardrail of the Holy Spirit, because he on his own realized that this was happening. And he came for advice in pastor, what do you think? I think you're right. I think you shouldn't have any type of talky-talky about my feelings with a girl from work. That's why God gave you a wife. And it's going to be a big mess, even if it's just that. I don't trust a guy telling me that it's just that, but that would be just me. But no. And that is how God set up a guardrail for your relationships, for your freedom, for your moral purity. Think about this way. Let's say I'm saying this, and you're thinking of something that you may be doing or thinking. I will ask myself these two questions. Will this relationship that I'm having with this person honor the future marriage of that person? If the answer is no, then you need to run. Will this bless, with this conversation, whatever is going on, will this bless and be a stepping stone so this person gets closer to the Lord? If the answer is no, then there is no room in a Christian life for such, even if it's only a conversation. And that is a guardrail, and I would say it's a huge guardrail that you need to have in order to protect, even if you're single and young, even to protect your future and your mind. If not, I mean, we need to walk in purity, and this is super important. I want to talk, and Pastor Kyle already took my scripture from this ordinance, but I want to talk about financial guardrails, or guardrails in your finances. This is a big one. Let me read from Matthew 6:24. It says, "No one can serve two masters." It's a very popular scripture. You will hate one, and you will love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other." I remember the first time I read this, and this is something that happens to me a lot since I became a Christian as an adult. There are some verses that I remember clearly the first time I read. And when I was reading this for the first time, I can remember how I was thinking, oh, okay, he's talking about Satan. He's going to say something about the devil. And look how it ends. It says, "You cannot serve both God and money." And for many years, when I was just saved, I was thought, why don't it say, "You cannot serve both God and Satan," or "God and the devil"? Why is he talking about money? And it took me a long time to understand the point that the Lord Jesus Christ, this is Jesus talking. Why would he say that? Well, easy, because money can be your spiritual master. In some old manuscripts in Greek of this text, the word for money is the word for a Canaanite demon that people in this time understood that it meant money as well. And there is a reason for it, because money is not evil on its own. We need money. We need money to send all those new churches. We need money to have missionaries. We need money for the pastors to go to Africa and to save more souls. But because you could put your own trust and your own faith of your own well-being in your bank account instead of Jesus, money can become your spiritual master. Because you're feeling good, you have the fridge. That feeling you get when you just went to a grocery store and the fridge is full of food and the kids are not complaining and you're healthy and everything is going great because you have food, money, gas in the car. And that could steal the place that Jesus need to have in your life. Because the reason that you need to have those feelings is because you have given your life to Christ. Regardless, Christians, they love what they, I say that when a Christian is talking Christianese, he loves to say, "I can do everything in Christ," that verse, but nobody reads that one before, where Paul is saying, "I've been super poor. I have had no food. I've been in 3 shipwrecks. I've been stoned. I've been to all these awful situations." And also, he was a Roman citizen. He came from a wealthy family. He was a very studied man. So he had the experience of living in wealth and in poverty. And the point of that verse on its own is that we need to be happy and fine with whatever God decides in his mercy for us to have, and that we need to be content with what he gave us. And that is why Jesus is saying this. Money can become your master. And if you keep reading a little bit, then you could read the verse that Pastor Kyle took from my service. Matthew 6:33, that says, "Seek first the kingdom, and then the Lord will give you everything that you need." And see that it says, or the meaning of the verse is not everything that you want. He says everything that you need. And from my experience, what the Lord knows that you need is almost never what you want. And going back to becoming a pastor, this is a road that I never thought I would do. And there is nothing better. There is no path as happy as being the path set up by the guardrails of the Lord. We pastors, we don't want you to be sad and poor. We want you to be happy and wealthy in spiritual things and whatever the Lord has devised for you. He will equip you and give it to you if you stay within these guardrails. Okay, I have some points that will be very practical, that will allow you to be in those financial guardrails. We live our lives like this, and I think it's an easy way to see it. What's the guardrail? Give first, save second, live with the rest. That's it. Why? Because giving will put you right with the Lord. And I'm talking about tithing, but I'm talking also about being generous. And it will destroy any greed that you have in your heart. Amen. A cure. You want to bulletproof your heart from greed? Give. Amen. Give to the church. Pay your tithe. Help people. Spend money in other people's need. Get out of your own head and think of other people financially. If you save, you then prepare for the future. And then you live comfortably. But the most important part, and what Paul is talking about in those verses, no, it's not Paul, Jesus is talking about in those verses, is that living within your means and having no debt or close to no debt will bring you peace.
Amen.
Peace. So now you have a heart that is protected against greed. You're helping others and the church as you intended to do as a Christian. You're saving for the future, and you have peace because you're only living with what the Lord has decided that you need to have. And of course we need to work, and of course we need to do our part, but it's important to understand that the Lord is designing your path, not ourselves. And last, I'm going to finish with this one. This will be, and probably has to do with all the ones that we have already talked, the guardrails of your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else. How beautiful. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. How important. Your life, the condition of the heart. We could all come here to church and be all dressed up and use some cologne and have big smiles and all our hairs are fine and everything looks perfect on the outside. Everything. But at some point, whatever you have in your heart is gonna come out through your mouth. And I'm not going to read it for time, but I always like to give homework.
Oh, I know. There we go.
Matthew 15. I want you to get home and read Matthew 15 from verses 1 to 20. And this is a very nice story of Jesus having this confrontation with some Pharisees. The Pharisees are so upset. Jesus is not washing his hands ceremonially. Jesus is not, he wants to eat everything, he doesn't want to, it's a big mess for the Pharisees. And in verse 11, having a discussion, Jesus with the Pharisees, he tells them, it is not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. And if you continue reading a little bit further, Jesus says, explaining this, he says, the words you speak come from your heart. And that is the reason you need to take care of your heart. That's what defiles you. And from the heart come, and this is rough. Who knows that Jesus didn't back down on anything he said, right? He said, from your heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, death, lying, and slander. I know that we have an enemy, that Satan is our enemy, and the spiritual realm and his demons are true, and we have power over them with the blood of Jesus Christ. But Jesus here is letting us know that the worst things that we have as humans come from our own hearts. So our worst enemy is within. And the reason for this is because we do not take care of our hearts. If you feel guilty, guilt is telling you, I owe you. Confess it. You did something, just confess it. If the Apostle James said, just go and confess if you did some wrongdoing. If you have anger in your heart, anger is saying, you owe me. You did something to me, you owe me. I'm angry with you. Just forgive. Just forgive. That's the guardrail. Forgive. If you have greed, I owe myself. I need more. Why did he got that raise? Why did he got a better job? Why is this pastor has more people and less time the church open than me? Give. Just give. Give to that person. Give and you will save your heart. Just give. And if you're jealous of the life of someone else and you're thinking that the life in general owes you, just celebrate others. How? In prayer. Pray for the ones that are doing better than you. Pray because they got a raise. Have a heart that is pure, and that will save, guard your heart. Could we stand up to pray? Could we just close our eyes for a moment?